There are many Cochrane reviews of ways to help smokers to quit, and a new review has been added of research into interventions that might help by reducing the subsequent weight gain. Amanda Parsons from the UK Center of Tobacco Control Studies at the University of Birmingham in England describes this evidence.
Weight gain after smoking cessation is a common concern of smokers and can be a barrier to either attempting or succeeding to quit. It is not surprising that smokers are concerned, as weight gain is common. About 8 out of 10 people that give up smoking will put on weight. On average, somebody who quits can expect to gain around 5 kilograms during their first year of abstinence and a further 2 kilograms over the next few years. It is not totally clear why people put on weight, but it's probably due to a combination of factors, including a decrease in metabolic rate and eating more food. But whatever the cause, smokers hate gaining weight when they stop. Over the years, researchers have tried to find ways to help prevent this weight gain. In this Cochrane review, we examined how successful these efforts have been. In the first part of the review, we examined the effects of specific weight gain interventions, such as dieting, while quitting. In the second part of the review, we examined whether drug treatments taken to help people stop smoking, such as nicotine replacement therapy, helped to limit the weight gain. We looked to see how well these treatments worked in the short term, and up to 1 year, in people who had successfully quit. In the first part of the review, we found trials that had examined drug treatments to limit weight gain, and also trials of interventions that had used behavioural approaches. Some of the drug treatments clearly worked, but some of these weight loss drugs had rare but serious side effects, so they are no longer available to use. Of the drugs that were safe to use, studies did not look at whether the drugs suppressed weight after treatment had ended, and so it was not possible to find out their long-term effects. Several different types of behavioural methods have been tried. One was to advise and educate smokers about healthy eating and exercise, and advise a low-calorie diet, similar to typical weight loss diets. These advice-only interventions did not reduce weight gain, and there was also some suggestion that these interventions actually reduced the likelihood of being successful at stopping smoking. A second intervention was very similar, except that this time smokers were given individual goals, and weight was monitored regularly. This kind of regular weighing and checking seemed to be more successful. People following the program weighed 2 kilograms less than those who did not after 12 months, and following the program did not seem to reduce the chance of successful quitting, but there were too few trials to be sure. A third dietary intervention tested was a very low-calorie diet. Very low-calorie diets replace food with specially formulated drinks or bars and lead to rapid weight loss. The diet forces the body to burn fat reserves for energy, and this releases a chemical which suppresses appetite. This kind of diet led to the most weight loss in the short term of all the interventions in this review, but because only one trial tested this intervention, we could not be sure whether the effects were maintained in the long term. This intervention also increased quit rates. Current scientific opinion suggests that hunger is related to cravings, and so perhaps by suppressing hunger, this diet also reduces cravings for cigarettes, which are a common reason for relapse. More research on these diets is necessary. A fourth approach that has been tested was exercise. This had only a small effect in the short term, but in the long term reduced weight gain by 2 kilograms. The final behavioural strategy included in this review discouraged dieting and involved helping people to accept that they may put on weight using cognitive behavioural therapy. This approach led to reduced weight gain in the short and long term, and people who received this therapy were more successful at quitting. Only one study tested this approach, and this is a worthwhile area for further exploration. In the second part of our review, we summarised the effects of first-line smoking cessation drug treatments on preventing weight gain. In the short term, bupropion, also known as Zyban, was the best at reducing weight gain, and users gained 1 kilogram less than those who did not use it. People who use varenicline, or Champix, a nicotine replacement, such as patches and gum, prevented about half a kilogram increase in weight. Lots of trials have tested these medications, but too few of them have weighed people in the long term to know whether their effects last or not. Three trials of nicotine nasal spray, where long-term use was allowed, suggested that long-term use of the spray reduced weight gain by 1.5 kilograms after 12 months. Overall, our review shows that reducing weight gain in people stopping smoking is difficult but not impossible. This is fertile ground for further research to clarify the reasons why people put on weight and to develop effective interventions to help prevent it. We have summarised what we know so far about what works, but there are still many gaps and other avenues to explore. In short, this review has shown that individually tailored diets and exercise works in the long term, but there are too few studies to know whether the effects are large or small. Taking nicotine replacement in the long term probably works to reduce some of the weight gain too. Very low calorie diets and cognitive behavioural therapy look promising and may prevent a larger amount of weight gain.
This comprehensive review of research into interventions to reduce weight gain after smoking cessation is available from www.cochrane.org.